Suns fans, you know what time it is in the PHX.
Empire of the Suns.
Phoenix Suns.
The Empire of the Suns podcast is brought to you by Sonic. Sonic.
Empire of the Suns.
Hello and welcome to the Empire of the Suns podcast. My name is Kellen Olson, joined as always by Kevin Zimmerman. What's up, man?
How about those Wildcats?
How about them?
I don't want to push your buttons this early. I'm sorry. I did want to, actually. That's why I did that.
It's messed up.
How about those Phoenix Suns?
Thought we were friends, bro. Come on. We're going to change things up for today's episode. Usually we run through the games, talk about themes that have emerged inside the games the Suns have played that week. Since we last podcasted, they lost to the Celtics. Surprise. Devin Booker returned in Cleveland, and surprise, they turned the ball over a lot, and they let it get closer than it should have in the fourth quarter against a team they should have blown out. Could sit here and get 20 minutes out of that, or we could do something different. We're going to do something different. We are going to run through in our sole opinions. That's it. Just our opinions. That's it. We're ranking, and that's where you say your opinion, and then you say rank. That's when people get feisty.
Yelling, yeah.
We're going to get replies in our tweets for sure. The toughest opponents, we believe, for the Phoenix Suns in the postseason. So I think we'll talk about it at certain points in the conversation, but I think ultimately the point of this exercise is to show the amount of parity in the West, one, and two, debunk, if I'm using that word correctly, the myth. Has anyone ever used debunk to something other than a myth before? I think those two are like related forever. Anyway, are there matchups worth the Suns like losing for if they somehow get to a point where they can lose and drop down to, let's say they win 10 in a row and they're in five and they like the matchup with the 3 seed more than the 4 seed? Should they lose? I don't really think that's a thing in the West, but we'll talk. How this is going to work is we went 9-1 ranking the toughest opponents. So one is the Denver Nuggets. Spoiler alert. There you go. Sorry, everyone. You're going to have to listen to the end to hear number two, but we all know number one. Number nine is who we believe is the easiest, quote unquote, but we'll get into how easy we feel that is. How this is going to work is I'm going to say my nine. I'm going to name that team. You're going to tell me where you ranked them, and then we're going to talk about that team for a little bit. Then we're going to do your eight. I'm going to tell you where I ranked them, then we're going to talk about them, and so on and so forth. Everyone ready? Jeremy, are you ready? Kevin, does that all sound gravy?
Let's roll.
All right, my nine is the Sacramento Kings. Where you got them?
Ooh. My nine is the Lakers somehow, which is silly because of their regular season record. I just don't trust them.
We immediately did that wrong, by the way.
What?
I asked what your nine was. I should have asked you where you had the Kings instead.
Might have asked me and I just wasn't.
It makes sense
attention.
Anyway. Where do you have the Kings? And then we'll talk about the Lakers after the Kings.
One, two, three, six.
Yeah, I'm six. Okay. Here's my argument for having them as the quote-unquote easiest matchup. One, they have been the most... I'm trying to think of the way to put this. The combination of experience plus erratic play throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, even within games against the Suns.
They score the lowest. Now, the Lakers have had an erratic season. The Mavericks have had an erratic season. So have the Warriors. To a certain extent, the Clippers lately. I mean, they're 7-8 in their last 15. They've been kind of up and down. They were kind of meh to start the year. Then they were really, really awesome for 2 months. And now they're kind of back to being meh. And guess what? Their guys are starting to get hurt again. Oh, my goodness. The Kings, that is one factor for me. Two, I think that getting Sabonis as a draw in the playoffs in the West is a win. He has been someone who, I don't think Sacramento could ever take him off the floor, but there were times in that Warriors series where you were like, maybe they should just go small and match small and see how this goes. And I know there were certain people calling for it. But the only qualm that I have with my suggestion, maybe where you go, is that the easiest argument here is that the Suns are really bad in the fourth quarter and De'Aaron Fox just won the inaugural Jerry West Award for the best clutch player in the league. I don't know what his clutch numbers are right now. I'm going to look at that right now to see if it is still pretty darn good. I'm guessing it is still pretty darn good, but that's where I go. Why do you have them higher than that? Because six is more of a range where I think they could definitely beat the Suns in it. You might pick them to beat the Suns is what I'm saying.
I'm worried because they make Nurk kind of, they've played him off the court a little bit. And I guess it's for like reasons that help the Suns get back, not necessarily Nurk doing anything, but just how they run and the Suns' lapses and effort problems, which like you're going to give up a couple games in the playoffs, even one game in the playoffs, if you just don't feel like getting back on defense for one game. I could see the Suns doing that in that series. Look, I know that they've gotten good matchups against them in quirky ways, but that team scares me a little bit because as much as like we don't think of them as a serious basketball team, they took the Warriors. They were pretty strong in the playoffs last year. Like I thought they showed well, and I just think that I will give them a little credit there. Stylistically, yeah, it's just the style thing, and if you take one of the better Suns players off the floor because of that style, a little concerning. I don't think that Kevin Durant can play small ball five against Sabonis for even multiple games in pockets. I think that might be a little of an anomaly, and it's good that the Suns figured that out for facing other teams, but I don't think it's good that, like, to say that you can beat the Kings that way. So I think that's why I have them sixth. Do I say my ninth now?
Hold on.
Which I already said.
De'Aaron Fox in the clutch this year. Shooting 48% on 83 total attempts, which is pretty darn good. Last year, he shot 53% on 136 attempts. Here's a weird one. He was 43 of 50 from the line that year, so 86%. A guy who's like mid-70s as a foul shooter gets better. This year, he's shooting 65. He's 17 of 26 from the line. Doesn't look like it's going to be his award this year. DeMar has been incredible in the clutch again this year. The best field goal percentage, actually, of anyone with at least 65 attempts, which is nine guys. Mikal Bridges,
yeah,
shooting 53%. There's your old friend. Nikola Jokic is shooting 56%, and he has 18 assists, but he also has 12 turnovers. Huh. The assist-to-turnover ratio, DeMar, for example, is at 14 to 13. Fox is at 15 to 10. The most attempts is Steph. He's taken 103, and he's shooting 50-47-95 in the clutch.
Seems good. Seems
maybe
good
it might be his award still instead. But the point is he's still been pretty darn good in the clutch.
Yeah.
I think that where I would worry about them is, to your point on Sabonis, did you get much into like one-on-one defense at the point of attack either? Because that's where I'm worried about Fox and Monk, and you just
where
can't
Grayson
keep,
can't. You Grayson's can't, been great this year at that, but like that's a different breed of dudes that
you can't
struggled
keep them
with
out of the paint. Yeah. Here's the flip side: who do they have that guards any three of the guys? They grade the worst, I think, of
I
any
think they
of
would
these
get
teams.
In shootouts. Yes.
It would just be a who's going to execute late, who's going to not turn the ball over, which of course is where you're scared for the Suns. Mm-hmm. But I say that because I think it would ultimately come down to one, a shootout, but two, I think that the Suns have been the better defensive team this year. The numbers will back that up for sure. They've been better defensively than Sacramento. So yeah, who do you have at eight?
I had Lakers at nine. I have Warriors at eight.
I have the Warriors four.
Yeah. And I'm like torn on that. And this is where this list and this exercise is confusing to me in my brain because...
Well, this is where you can get into like, so for me,
they've played well lately.
I have a 9-8-7 where if a playoff series happened right now in a 9-8-7 against those three teams, I would pick the Suns to beat them. After that, I'd have to really start to think about it. But around like five is where I probably start going the other way, just with how they've continued to struggle with things. So
yeah.
Why? I'll just say the Draymond stuff, him playing full five, that's most of the reason why here, and they don't have anyone who can guard Steph.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They've played really well lately. They've looked legit. I just don't know if they have the firepower or the stoppers for the Suns, I guess. That makes me feel okay about it. Like, whether you're talking about Chris Paul or Pods, or is that what they call him? I don't even know. Pajemski.
What's his name?
P- pods.
Yeah, pods.
I just don't trust their defense enough. Like the problem there when you do talk about matchups and bigs is like Draymond will be up for those games based on a certain history of him and Nurk. So I don't know if that matters that much, but yeah, they have some punch as a, like, if their bench can play well, but there's still like a, all right, is Wiggins going to go off and finally get over his hump of whatever he's dealing with? Yeah, I don't know.
Are you familiar with the term buff?
Yeah.
Like what a buff is? This is a video game thing I'm doing.
Oh, no. Not that.
So
okay.
If I cast a spell on you, Kevin,
okay.
I'm going to make you write better. You just received the Kellen buff.
Okay.
You got the Kellen buff. Then
Sweet.
That came out weird that I labeled it like that because now I'm insinuating that I
yeah.
am the ultimate writer of
yeah.
all writers.
Thank you for that
more,
buff.
It's more that I casted it.
Okay.
I'm looking at series where they get a Nurk buff where they will be able to play Nurk a lot and they won't have to worry about it as much.
Yeah.
This is like the worst Nurk buff that exists because they wouldn't really, I don't think they'd be able to play Nurk that much because I just think Draymond would, if he's been playing the way he has been playing this season and he keeps his head on straight long enough to play in the postseason, which
yeah.
we'll see. Knock on something if you're a Warriors fan listening to this. I think ultimately that is what I'm worried about the most. And on top of that, I disagree with the matchups thing. I think they have Wiggins to throw on Durant. I think they have Kuminga to throw on Durant. Now, Kuminga, like, not going to stop Durant. Durant will eat that kid alive. Mm-hmm. But in terms of an athlete, strong athlete that's just going to beat him up, it's another option.
Yeah.
And then Draymond. And I believe Draymond and Wiggins can both defend Booker and Beal when warranted. I'm not saying they'd be able to stop them. But again, in theory, that's where I was going for. In theory, they have better matchups as well. What are the parts of the game the Suns struggle with the most right now beyond like just the fourth quarter itself?
Oh, it's rotations.
Just like sections of the game. When do we talk about them struggling the most? Oh, it's the start of the second quarter and it's the start of the fourth quarter. Who is the former Suns point guard who roasted those minutes every time?
Yeah.
Who do the Warriors now have
yeah.
who is going to be playing those minutes with Klay Thompson off the bench? I'd be worried about that.
Okay. I have hope for like Beal. That's the interesting matchup is like those guys are the X factors, Beal and Chris in this, if we're talking matchup.
Yeah, because so Chris is the pigeon every second he's out there, but how can the Suns have the Suns proven that they can be effective enough in hunting a pigeon?
Yeah.
Without messing up their offense. I haven't gotten
Can
that
I get
yet.
Off on a tangent? Did you watch JJ Redick's book thing?
The
most interesting part of that to me was the JJ went on this thing about college offensives. They have a lot of fluff in their offenses. They do a bunch of these actions just to get to an action that actually does anything because they have this extra shot clock. And then he said in the NBA, teams get too heavy into matchup hunting. And to me, it read like he's like, I'm talking generally, like teams go into matchup hunting mode. They slow down, the pace slows in the fourth. And he's like, I'm not saying it's about the Suns, but it kind of seemed like he's trying to see if Book said something. And I took it
as Book agreed.
Book kind of was like, yes, and he didn't want to say anything that would like say anything wrong about the Suns.
Brad and Kevin have been doing it way more than the Suns used to,
yeah.
And Book doesn't normally do it. Yeah.
And he was like, separate part of the conversation, he's like, I love getting off the ball. Like, if people blitz me, I'm tossing that out, run in action, have an advantage on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the most interesting part of that podcast. Why did I say that? I don't remember now. But that's, I guess, to the matchup hunting point. Yeah. Was that what we were talking about?
That's what we were talking about.
Okay, I'm sorry. I derailed everything.
That's okay. I think a qualifier for me is, and maybe why I have a certain team higher than I should, is that due to the star power of Booker and Durant, also Beal, does this team have someone who could be the best player in the series? So,
yeah.
The Warriors do.
Yeah.
They have Steph Curry. So
that's fair.
That's why I would have them there. And yeah, I just think they pose a ton of problems. I thought the last game that those two teams played was
that is going to mess with your list compared to mine. Cause mine, the bottom three.
Well, that's where I contradict myself. Cause my number eight, is the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
That's where I have them.
Yeah.
I think that on the front of what I was talking about, where you watch the team and how sustainable they are and how consistent they are. They're just not.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. Now, there's some little under the radar stuff happening, which is where when they play their five, which is, I believe it's D'Lo, Reeves, Rui, LeBron, and AD, they're really, really good. And D'Lo's been having a really good 2 months.
Yeah.
Which, surprise, like he's really good sometimes. He catches flack sometimes for whatever reason. Is he a top 10 point guard in the league? No. Does he take bad shots? Yes. Does he need like certain, but the Lakers are clearly like trying to get the most out of him right now before they trade him, because they're going to trade him.
He's very talented.
He's very good. But with that being said, I just don't see it when you watch him. It's still like there's too much.
There's not enough.
The Warriors have the same kind of thing going on, and to a certain extent, other teams on this list have the same thing going on, where you watch them for longer than you catch them on the wrong night / right night. There's the balance there is too off. I think that I was going to go on an Anthony Davis thing, but I'm not going to, and I'm just going to say
it's not even about him. And if he and LeBron are healthy, like they're going to be competitive, whatever. But to me, it's not even about them. Why have the Lakers at my last spot?
Yeah, and they torch Reeves whenever that matchup happens, and they just have a really easy time with their perimeter play in general. And that's where KD's just guarding LeBron. That's what's happening. Yeah. Royce is spending time on LeBron. That's where Royce O'Neal coming into this trade is huge, because he can spend time on LeBron. And I think that perimeter-wise, it's to what we were talking about with Sacramento and Fox and Monk. Like, you're not worried about Booker's ability to defend Reeves or Russell, even if those guys are talented. It's not like, it's nothing different. The main two threats you're worried about are, I think the only one is LeBron, honestly. Like, if you're going to get PKD, no one can stop him. But if you're not going to get PKD, which happens all the time, then guess what? Yeah. I'd be worried about the 5 minutes when Nurkic isn't out there, and I'd be worried about foul trouble for Nurkic in that series. But you run the hub stuff to bring Davis away from there, and then if it doesn't work, you can still go small. And I think that them going small against certain teams is just not going to work with how little they've worked on it. But I think against the Lakers, their defense isn't really too crazy, but I still think that they're going to get slept on again, and I rate them higher. I was going to put them 9, but my LeBron respect, which longtime listeners know, I appease to that probably more often than others would, but that's where I go. Who is your, so you have the Lakers 9. Do you have anything else to say on the Lakers? It seems like you were kind of with me. Who is your 7?
The Mavs?
Hmm. This is the point where you go, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And this is the point where you start going, there are serious, serious challenges and roadblocks kind of in their way.
I can't proclaim I've watched them a lot, especially since the trade deadline. Yes, Luka, Kyrie, that's scary every time. To your point about best players, it could be either of them in a series.
I have them 5.
Okay.
I bumped them a couple of spots just because they always have the Suns number.
Yeah.
The unexplainable, whatever you want to call it, kind of stuff there. The fact that Luka always gets up for this. Now you can say it's a playoff series. He's going to get up for it regardless. I don't know, man. Have you watched him against this team?
Yeah.
He really gets up for it. To my Nurk thing again, they have the ability to play him off the floor, and I don't know if you can defend Luka's actions with Nurk. Like, I just don't think it's possible with someone that's where, like, the ceiling of what Nurk is as a defender reaches a certain point. Even if he works really hard, you'd have to get galactic KD in that series. For it to really work out defensively.
Thad Young would have to play in that series.
And I just think, like, defensively with what the Suns have struggled with and the amount of... If you can defend in multiple efforts against Dallas, they're actually not really too hard to defend.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what this team
they're
is.
They're very rudimentary offense, but that's assuming Luka is taken out to some degree, not just doing whatever he wants, scoring 28 points and a half or whatever. I mean,
I've got them 5.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing for me, is like, I don't think it's a good matchup either. I just, again, I'm going, maybe I should be rating against the Suns more, but I just still don't trust them very much. But they're right where, like, if I put the Suns playing the Suns in this, like, if we're talking about tiers, just straight tiers in the West, like, the Suns are right there with them where it's like, I think they're good, but I don't know, man. Thoughts on them otherwise?
No. Again, Luka has the potential to be the best player in the series. I think if you look at the defensive matchups again, they don't have anyone to guard. Like, yeah. they're going to be meaning anyone to guard the Suns' threats, which is where you would feel better. But again, I'm worried about the Nurk part. I'm worried about
two divers
the
and Lively
defense
and,
in general against that. The divers, I just feel like you'd see a lot of open lobs or open threes and them trying to really contain Luka but being unable to do the whole picture, which is part of what makes Luka so unstoppable as it is. But again, that would just have to be. And then that would have to be, that's a really interesting chess match of part of what we saw with Willie Green versus Monty Williams, where it's Jason Kidd versus Frank Vogel. They know each other's systems kind of well. And that's where Kidd has proven time after time being really effective in game planning for Booker and his ability to not quite neutralize him, but keep him limited in games has just been the best so far we've seen of any coach scheming against them, in my opinion. Outside of like the team they see once a year or whatever, but it seems like for the most part they're able to get out of him. He did have a really good game against Dallas recently. I realize a lot of these things people are going to be like, you're contradicting yourself, whatever, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in general, especially in that playoff series, he did really well. All right, you ready for my hot take?
Yeah.
Clippers are 7 for me.
That was my hot take, but the other way. Okay. Why?
I don't buy the Harden thing in the playoffs, never will. Until it happens. I'm just a results guy. You can call me the U of A guy being mean to the ASU guy. I don't care. Look at his playoff resume. Look at what happens when series get tight, like games 5 to 7 on. His numbers drop off a cliff dramatically. His best friend in the world right now should be Joel Embiid after the way Embiid cratered in that playoff series to distract people from how Harden was also cratering. And you're watching the games, and it's just he's passing the ball to Maxey and just standing there. And he's just like, no, I don't know. And he just dissolves. Like, it feels like he actually dissolves in series. And then I don't know, we're doing this right now, if we did this in a month and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are fully healthy, but those guys have been missing some games and Kawhi just like left the arena. And that's another type of thing where
if we're saying they're fully healthy,
there's an avenue to go down here where if I was on First Take and I was yelling, I could go further and I would feel more comfortable going further. But I'll say there are certain players who are hurt and will just be like, I'm fine. But then James Harden openly saying like, yeah, I had a shoulder injury. And then I don't know. And it's Kawhi like leaving the arena completely before the game's over, like not even hanging out to see the result and stay with his team. There's just stuff like that where it's like,
some
I don't
bubbling.
It's not even like things are happening behind the scenes. It's just that this is not how a team comes. Like, there's not enough team stuff happening there. Does that make sense?
Is this different than last year, though, when they were the opposite of that? Like, that's my thing is I will, and same thing with the Suns, I will wait to see how they act in the postseason, but I'll tell you where my Clippers are when I get to the Clippers part.
No, well, where are they?
Oh, they're
talking about them now.
Oh, they're 1.
You have them 1?
Yeah.
Above the Nuggets.
Yeah, I do.
Wow, why?
They have played awful against them, and Ty Lue knows what to do. I will say, like, the Vogel being confident thing, like, we're going to see stuff in the postseason, but I haven't seen it, and I just have to go with results of this season and that team. And the Harden thing, like, I'm not concerned because I could see Ty Lue just being like, we're starting Russell in the playoffs if he felt like it wasn't going right. Like, I could see that. And I think they have enough bodies. I don't think the Suns match up. I think they can defend the Suns of any team. That's
in
probably
theory,
the
they
best.
Have the best personnel, yeah.
What between Paul George, Kawhi, Norm Powell, like, down the line, Terrence Mann. Ty Lue knows how to make Book work and KD work. We saw that last year. So just, I would like to see evidence in the last, and that's where, like, if we get to the end of the season after the last 2 regular season games against them, if I see signs that, like, oh, the Suns, they did a thing, or they do something to make me feel differently. But right now, I just feel like they have their number, I guess, as how this year's teams match up. I don't know. I don't feel great about it. And then when you get down to the centers, they can match up. They can throw different small ball units if they really wanted. I do want to see that series because I think it's two coaches who are like going to do wacky, wacky, wacky stuff in the playoffs, which I like from a pure objective basketball standpoint.
Quietly don't have enough bodies.
Okay.
Quietly.
Yeah.
A lot of Amir Coffey out there, Kev.
There is a lot.
There's a lot of Amir Coffey on getting out there. There's a lot of Bones Highland out there.
Yeah.
It's no longer the super solid Reggie Jackson, Rocco, Marcus Morris stuff. Those guys are gone.
Elder Batum.
No Luke Kennard in the mix.
No.
Don't have enough bodies.
Okay.
And I just don't think all three guys are. You're either getting a far worse version of Harden or at least one of those guys is hurt.
I might have trauma from last year's playoffs.
Your seven is Dallas. That's fair. Your seven is Dallas.
Yeah.
Who's your six?
I had Sacramento six. Talked about them.
My six is New Orleans.
Okay.
I've got the Pelicans six. I think that the only reason I don't put them higher is the best player thing. I go again. Could Zion be the best player in a series against this team? Maybe, but that's stretching it a lot.
Yeah.
I think that they have quietly become really well-rounded. We talk about them a lot in the past of having like they go 9-10 deep in something we talked about in the playoff series 2 years ago quite a bit. But with that being said, Trey Murphy's now a completely different player than he was then. Herb Jones is a completely different player than he was then. And Jordan Hawkins is going to be the same way in like 2 to 3 years, but he adds even more shooting for them. They were in this weird CJ point guard thing that we got to see firsthand that was working pretty well. It's now Zion doing that, and I think that that presents a lot of problems for the Suns defensively and a unique dynamic that they haven't quite seen just yet. Now, they did handle the New Orleans matchup pretty well. Brad played really well in that game. But I think that it's just a lot of similarities to the matchup 2 years ago and what was problematic then and what would be now. The reason why I don't have them higher is the Zion thing and then Nurk again. Like, they're going to play Jonas. They're going to play Dan, like, whatever they're doing at the backup five. I don't know what they're doing these days.
Yeah.
But you're going to be able to play your five still. You're going to be able to run your core offense still, so you're going to be okay there. But that is who I have.
Do they play small ball at all?
Don't know.
I would, against Suns, specifically.
Zion at the five, that kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know if they've gotten that far yet. Unclear to me. But they've been... They're hot right now. They did this that year, 2 years ago. They were like one of the best teams in the league post All-Star break, and they're looking like that again.
One thing with them is like you would just hunt CJ for the entire time of the series and hope you find good matchups, and I think you could. So yeah, I know I had the Kings down there, but they're actually above the next team, but that's we'll talk about that. But
who do you have at five?
I have T-Wolves, and that is because I am accounting for Cat being out.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in theory, a month from today is right at the end of the regular season, basically. So I don't know. I would probably flip those two, I'm saying, if Cat was still healthy.
Pelicans are still playing Nance. There's some Cody Zeller stuff happening, too.
Okay, yeah.
Weird. I have the Timberwolves three. I think they're just really, really good as a team. I think that when I look at... I think the two best teams in the West, fully healthy, are the Nuggets and the Timberwolves.
Okay.
I think that what Minnesota does defensively is so much more than Gobert, because Conley, look, not moving the feet like he used to, but he's Mike freaking Conley. He's really good. He knows exactly what to do. He's played in a ton of great defenses. He's done it with Gobert, and he's doing it again. Jalen McDaniels, just one of the best defensive players in the league. Nikhil Alexander Walker has turned into a real thing for them as someone who had stock in him all these years. It has finally panned out. He's been great for them, specifically defensively.
Yeah.
Kyle Anderson is in the Mike Conley thing where, like, look, can you hunt him, I guess.
The Jared Dudley all-stars of, he can't move, his name is Slow-Mo. Wait, he's actually a pretty good defender.
He helps keep their offense moving. That team desperately needs, like, a, we're not just doing Conley two-man game, and we're not just doing Ant, like, hero ball. We need, like, a little bit of something else to keep the gears spinning, like a, what did Monty call Dario all the time again? What did he call him? Connector. Like, connector. Not necessarily, and he's not even a connector necessarily, but he can serve as a connector while also keeping their stuff going in a certain way.
Is a connector like a light hub? Like, Nurk is a hub, Dario's a connector?
Yeah, a connector is a poor man's hub.
It sounds like like a Best Buy conversation, but anyway.
Yeah, it's fair. Rudy's been awesome this year. He's just been awesome, and I just think that, again, Nurk is one of the Suns' best players, most important players, but I think the matchup with Gobert, it would be more of a struggle, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Gobert really cutting off the paint would pressure the Suns to take even more mid-range shots instead of threes, where they would just need to take more threes, but Minnesota would keep them
just
off the
feed
line.
It to the, yeah,
and
feed
they would
to
let
the high
them,
post, do
let
whatever
them play
you want.
Mid-post. Yep, just do whatever you want. We're going to stay down there. Everyone knows how I feel about Naz Reid. I'd be really worried about those backup minutes against whoever the Suns are going to play at the five, and he's been playing out there with Rudy as well, even after Cat got hurt.
Yeah.
The Monte Morris pickup, another guy where we've talked about on the pod forever. We think he's awesome. McLaughlin was in there for some stretches that night when they killed, who was it they were running over? I think Denver? No, not Denver.
Was it late?
Can't remember the other night. I was watching the Clippers game, but I was watching that game, too, where they went nuts on the Warriors, maybe. I can't remember exactly. Or Clippers. It was the Clippers.
It was the
Kawhi game, yeah. It was the Clippers again. And I just think they're super rock solid, and I think that Ant has been really maybe criminally underrated with how he's performed in the postseason because, again, to the Embiid-Harden thing, a lot of attention being paid to Kat and what's going wrong for him. But meanwhile, Ant's playing great. He's playing fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that...
He's basically made it a non-issue almost.
I don't look at...
Which I am taking as an issue still, but...
I don't look at any other player in the league right now who I think could come up to Booker's level in a direct matchup against him in the league, except Ant.
I think
that Ant could do that. He could elevate, is what I'm saying. Mm. I feel like Booker's above him still, but that is my point. And I just feel like, again, structurally consistent, they're aces.
Yes.
The phrase used to go, they're aces. I'm rewatching Chuck right now. If anyone watches Chuck, they know what that's from. You have anything more on Minnesota? But that was my Minnesota's really good spiel.
No. No.
McDaniel's on KD.
Ant was good on Book even as a rookie or second year player.
Yeah, they could. I think Ant's going to get an all defense nod with Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, the Nikhil thing, that's where Nikias had some stuff there, I believe, with the year that he's having defensively as well. Yeah, I think they're really good. And I look at what the Suns do and what they don't do well. Like, we're talking about turnover issues against the best defense in the league. I have them at three. And, like, I would confidently, even without, I'm saying if Cat's out the whole series, like I'm treating it like Cat's not there.
Okay.
So at five you had them. I have the Mavericks. At four I have the Warriors, who we already talked about. Who do you have?
Pels.
Okay. Do you have anything more to add on that, or just same kind of thing with what Willie is cooking?
Just guessing here. Like that team though.
Three.
I'll just say Brandon Ingram's name.
Yeah.
Three is where I
having
have...
a weird year, Brandon Ingram, by the way.
Yeah.
Weird year. I thought it was happening, but it's, I don't think it's happening.
Okay. Do we have the same three? Do you have Clips?
I have the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah. You said this already. I have the Thunder.
I have them, too.
Yeah.
You know who the best team in the league is at forcing turnovers?
Thunder.
Yep.
We saw that. Switchy, switchy.
Switchy, switchy.
Threes. Can bomb.
They chuck. They
don't
make a ton of threes.
I don't even know if Chuck is... They chuck a lot of good shots.
They just generate good looks consistently.
Yeah.
I think that the only two reasons to not have them this high are Giddy. But I think they're just not going to play Giddy in the postseason. I think they're just going to get there and be like, oh, nope, you're playing 12 minutes. Like, nope. because teams are going to quickly play him off the floor. He can't shoot. They're going to be like, go ahead and shoot. And you've got, just play Isaiah Joe 20 more minutes. Like, it's, just do that. Just play the kid. Just play Wallace 20 more minutes. Like, just don't play Gideon. I think that they'll get there. And then two, experience. Like, that's the only thing. There's a massive experience edge to the Suns in this kind of matchup. But again, what they do well,
it's
completely works into what the Suns don't do. We just saw how well Nurk did against Holmgren. That has to be said. So my Nurk theory, but I don't think that Chet adjusted to that game all that well, and I feel like he would come out much better. And Oklahoma City, Dagnall would come out with a far more aggressive scheme, offensive plan, than just a single matchup to go at Nurkic specifically. I think that defensively, one of the reasons I have them so high is they have the archetype defenders to bother Durant.
Yeah.
We have learned through the Clippers series that the best way to defend him is not with, I guess Victor Wembanyama would be good for everyone, but not everyone can have Victor Wembanyama or Giannis to defend him. So you need a 6'4 to 6'6 really strong guard slash wing with long arms who's just really good at staying attached. And Dort does that. He beat the crap out of him in that game. And then Jalen Williams would do it as well. They could even toss in friend of the pod, Kenrich Williams, in there for a little bit of time. Like, they have a couple of guys who do that stuff. And then I think what Shea does well is bad news for them. Yeah. It's just really bad news for what Shea does well.
Grayson would try and Shea would...
They try to double him for two games and be like, oh no, we gave up 130 points. Yeah. Let's not do that. And then it's like, oh no, Shea scored 57. I don't think they could defend him.
You can't go small on him. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what you do. Bad matchup, but like, in theory, they would just have to shoot a lot worse than the regular season.
That was your three.
Yeah.
My three was Timberwolves. My two was the Thunder, as I said. Who was your two? Nuggets? So I have them one.
Yes. I don't...
Does this require explanation? Is there anything that you've seen them do... Anything this year that has made you feel better about the matchup than last year? No.
The last game, I know the Nuggets were not there.
Mm-hmm. They were
on vacation or whatever. But I just don't think they're a terrible matchup, because you actually do get... So I do believe, like, Jokic would... You just single coverage him, make him a scorer. And if he scores 40, fine. It's kind of the same as last year. I don't know if they have enough offensive punch. You can counter and say they do, to keep up, nor the defensive stoppers. Like, Aaron Gordon can...
Well, that's where last year I was
think
like...
it'd be a, like this, I feel comfortable saying the Suns would be competitive against them. Pretty comfortable.
Last year I was like, stop with the Aaron Gordon stuff. It's Kevin Durant. Relax. He did a pretty good job on Kevin Durant. He did a pretty good job, and someone else who has come in there and given them really great minutes, especially defensively, has been Peyton Watson. Would spend time on him as well. So again, do you have the right personnel to guard the best offensive player in the world, the best scorer in the world? They do, in theory. I think that there is some merit to the Nurk matchup with Jokic, just in that Nurk steps up to that.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, the Luka thing against the Suns. It's the Nurk thing against Jokic. You're just getting
You don't need to sell out or do junk defenses. And
don't need to worry about Nurk getting played off the floor, because Jokic isn't going to be... He's just Jokic. You want Nurk on him anyway, as it is. But that is where I would be very worried about Nurk's minutes, because he plays 30 minutes a game. He doesn't play 38. Vogel's really going to be dancing a delicate line in the playoffs, getting his minute totals, because KD's have not been great lately, to say the least. Booker's have not been great. Beals have been in a good spot. Nurk's have been in a good spot. But what can you do there exactly?
He just wears down over a 7-game series,
On a scale of 1 to Landry Shamet, where is Grayson Allen defending Jamal Murray?
I think it's okay. I think it's better than last year is why also.
I think it's better than last year as well, but I think it has the potential to go...
I don't think it'll go great, yeah. But I think you're actually doing some good things by putting Book not on him all the time, mm-hmm. I guess is where I would land on that. And like Jamal Murray's really good and can score, but I think Grayson can make him work as a matchup. Like it's not De'Aaron Fox or Shea levels of just no chance, I guess. Wrong there? I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out where MPJ factors in.
Yeah.
Like how much of a pigeon he is. He'd be an X factor in it for sure. But yeah, I just, again, how complete are they as a team? How consistent are they as a team? Those two and the Timberwolves are above a lot of other teams.
Yeah.
To me, even the Thunder for like this regular season. But yeah, they're my one. And then you have the Clippers one.
Yeah. I just, all right, that was fun. Clippers matchup.
I'm sure everyone agreed.
We did not agree at all, hardly.
No.
I don't think we have one agree.
There's parity, brother.
Do you think... Yeah, I mean, you didn't even have the Clippers up there. I think, like, 6 through 10 is just, like, I have no idea. And I don't know how much it matters that much. Do you have, a step down? I guess it's just where the standings are.
I think that Nuggets and Timberwolves... and Thunder is like a huge big three, and then they can I think that they have a chance, and I would probably pick them to beat the other teams.
Okay.
Yeah. But depending on how they improve over the next month, I'm expecting them to improve over the next month. I'm so confident they will, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But do I think that they're a top three team in the West right now? No.
No.
No. Even in playoff matchups, even when you're talking about playoff basketball, no. Don't think so. All right, so to recap our list, I've got the Kings 9, Lakers 8, Clippers 7, Pelicans 6, Mavs 5, Warriors 4, Timberwolves 3, Thunder 2, and the Nuggets at number 1.
My very different list. 9 Lakers, 8 Warriors, 7 Mavs, 6 Kings, 5 Wolves, 4 Pelicans, 3 Thunder, 2 Nuggets, and 1 Clippers, believe it or not. Wow.
All right. Well, that either made a lot of people feel better, worse, the same about how they felt about the Suns in the playoffs. I don't know.
One thing they could do is win or lose. I don't know.
We still boost. That's the champ.
To get back to the start of this all, I don't know how you even manufacture a thought about moving around seed-wise or losing on purpose or the end of the regular season, because they're going to be... You don't want to do the play-in. We've said this before.
No, the odds of them moving up to 5 right now with how New Orleans is going is pretty low. We'll be back next week with much more to talk about, because they're going to play the Celtics tonight with Devin Booker. No Porzingis. I think they saw like Jaylen questionable.
Jaylen Brown's on it, yeah.
And then Charlotte on Friday, sneaky trap game. I'll leave it at that. And then Sunday, rise and shine, everyone. 10 a.m. start against Milwaukee. Oh.
You're getting up. Yeah.
I'm getting up for that. You bet your bottom dollar I am. And then Sixers on Wednesday. I think we'll pod before that. But yeah, so like some interesting games. They'll be after the Milwaukee game, they'll be through part one of the gauntlet. Then they'll have like a nice little respite, whatever you call it, like a nice little 4-5 reprieve for
we write, we don't speak.
No, except for here. 5 or 6 games, yeah. Except this part, this for the radio station where we're talking to a microphone for a living sometimes.
Okay.
And then the gauntlet begins. We'll be back next week though to talk about all cherry limeade. Cherry limeade. Corn dog. We'll be back next week, everyone. See you later.